Tonight, I'm happy to welcome back to Many Rivers Books and Tea Anne Scott. Anne was here with three of her friends a couple of months ago for a wonderful evening. I really, really enjoyed it. And tonight, she'll be talking about the work she's done, the dream work that she's done, Women, Wisdom, and Dreams. Thank you very much for coming to Many Rivers.
Thank you so much. And thank you, my friends, and those who have come tonight. So I'd like to talk a little bit about dreams, because this is what the dreams inspired this book, but also a little bit about life and how I actually came to write this book and what inspired me. And there's something very alive about dreams for me, incredibly alive. And they're not just dreams. They speak a wisdom that each one of us carries, that is, it's like a underground stream, and if we can turn to it, if we can hear it, if we can pay attention to it, there's really an emerging wisdom that each of us can access. And we live in such confusing and troubled times, and so we need something that cuts to the core, that brings us to the essence, that helps us to hear what is true in the midst of our lives and our busy lives. And so I have been working with dreams for many years and had my own first dream, I call it, when I was 37, which I can talk a little bit more about later. But there's an aspect of the dreams that echoes to me something that's happening in life now. And just to give you an example, I was in Whole Foods today in Santa Rosa, where we now live. And I was thinking about the talk and a little bit distracted, and so, I got the wrong milk, and then there was just a few things that they had to go back and exchange when I was standing at the cash register. And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm distracted, I'm thinking about a talk I'm giving tonight." And so the young man said, "Well, what's your talk on?" And I said, "It's on dreams." He goes, "Oh, you're kidding. I had this dream two nights ago." And this is how it works. The dreams somehow evoke what they need. And so there was quite a while, because the woman had to go all the way to the end of the store to exchange my milk. And so he said, "Can I tell you my dream?" And his dream was so moving to me. And he obviously doesn't dream like this, because he had no understanding of the symbols. And so his friend said, "Look it up on the internet." But he didn't really catch the full meaning of it. But this was his dream. He said that he was in a car, and someone was driving me. I'm sitting next to a very wealthy friend, and the car windows were slightly tinted, but I could see outside, and on my right was a gorgeous city filled with light and fountains. And he goes, "What does it mean? Does it mean I'm going to win the lottery or what?" And I said, that's a dream for you, but it's beyond you. It's a personal dream, but it's also a dream that has a more collective understanding. And so he said, "What?" And we still had time, because this woman hadn't come back with my milk. So I said, "You really want to know?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I feel that you caught a glimpse of something that is very alive. It's a way of being, or it's a quality of life that you just caught a glimpse of as you were driving by in this car." And I said, "Don't forget it." And he said, "Yeah, I've had a really difficult time lately." And so I asked him if he wrote it down, and he said no, so he said he would write it down. But I was so moved, because this is what I'm finding, that the person that checks you out in the store, or my next door neighbor, or someone standing in line at the post office, you'll hear these little conversations of an awareness of something going on, but not really quite understanding what it is. And I feel that this wisdom is more accessible now than it's been in a very long time. And so I love to hear people's dreams, because each one of us holds a particular aspect of an emerging wisdom. So just I came home after his dream, and I looked up some I just looked up some places where I knew that there was a reflection of what he had said. For instance, in the Upanishads, it says, "In the golden city of the heart dwells the Lord of love." And then Rumi says, "I will never leave this house of light. I will never leave this blessed town, for here I have found my love, and here I will stay for the rest of my life." So this mystery is waking up in people, and it's just under the surface. And so so that's why I love to hear dreams. And I've been working with women for many years and listening to their dreams, and working with an understanding of the feminine and ways of allowing certain qualities into our lives. But I never had an experience as I did when I went to Baton Rouge. And this was just a few days after Hurricane Katrina. And I thought they were going to cancel my trip, but they didn't. So I went and stood in this room in Baton Rouge, full of women who were in a various degrees of shock, and they either had a refugee staying in their homes, or they themselves had come from New Orleans. And so I didn't know how I could help them. I felt an incredible humility coming from California and being able to stand in front of them, and yet they had been through such devastation, and what could I offer? And so the day began, and then we spoke and we did some silent meditation, and then I realized that I had this whole basket of dreams which I could share with them. And the dreams spoke about women around the world. They spoke about how women are connected, how we are one, and how they are not isolated. Even though they felt this tremendous isolation, they were left alone by the government. They were left alone, it felt like, to suffer this enormous tragedy of nature. And so I shared these dreams, and I could see something begin to happen in the women, but I didn't really know what it was till the very end. And the executive director of the women's center, where I gave the talk, asked at the end, there were about 30 women, "So what will you take home with you?" Which is a question people often ask. And around the room, the women said, "Hope, hope, hope, hope." Around the room, it was like an echo. So I saw something real happen in the midst of the biggest natural disaster that I'd ever witnessed. And I knew the power of dreams. I knew that they're essential now, because they help us to listen, and they help us to go deeper than our minds. And we can be very overwhelmed these times, but the dreams take us to some very simple essence. So I'll talk just a little bit about the first dream that I ever had, that I ever remembered. And I was 37 at the time, and it was a really ordinary circumstance. I was at a family gathering. We met in Hawaii. That wasn't so ordinary. There were nieces and brothers and their children, and it was just a large gathering, only there was a lot of difficulty, a lot of strained relations. And I had no interest in dreams at that time. Just started meditating a little bit. And it was Christmas, and I went to bed really filled with sorrow. And it was the poignancy not only of Christmas, but of this incredible underlying difficulty in what could have been a very joyful family gathering. So I went to bed that night, and I cried, went to sleep. And that night, I had a dream. And this dream changed my entire relationship to life. In the dream, I was shown a circle with a dot in the center. And I was told that this dot in the center of the circle was love. And that if I could be this love, then the problems in my family would fall away. And in the dream, I must have said yes, because suddenly I was drawn into this vortex of love. And waves of love filled my entire being, my whole body. And they came and came and came. And I had never known a love like that existed. And I remember thinking I didn't want it to stop. But of course, as soon as I had that thought, it stopped and I woke up. So that was the first dream I ever had. And it was how love came to me in that particular form, in that particular difficult, ordinary life circumstance because of a need. And so this is how they bring their messages. And our need, which we certainly have now today, is calling forth the dreams like this young man who saw a city of light filled with fountains. So let me just read one more thing. So we have a history of lovers in history. We have many figures who have lived lives dedicated to love, and then they go way back. And Rabia is one of them, who is from the 8th century. And she said, "O God, the stars are shining. All eyes have closed in sleep. The kings have locked their doors. Each lover is alone in secret with the one he loves. And I am here too, alone, hidden from all of them, with you." So for me, these dreams speak of this quality of love that can come in many different ways, in many different languages, different to each of us. So I'd just like to read a little bit. This is about dream work. And this is a quote by Samuel Coleridge. "What if you slept? And what if in your sleep you dreamed? And what if in your dream you went to heaven and there plucked a strange and beautiful flower? And what if when you awoke you had the flower in your hand? Ah, what then?" Why we need to listen to our dreams. Our modern culture has lost its understanding of the inner world. As a result, the unconscious has become something to be feared rather than a fertile garden. We forget that at night, when we close the door to our daily activities, We can rest in the infinite and be nourished by our dreams. Instead, many of us lie awake, worry or wonder about the next day or the next problem, instead of resting in the creative abode of silence. Dreams and meditation are valuable tools to help us to create a bridge to the unconscious, to access our own innate wisdom. Dreams in particular help us touch the wellspring, the creative spark of knowing, which is a gift from the divine. Each dream, like a kernel, is a poem from the inner world. The simple turning of our attention inward and learning to value our dreams can help us to heal what has separated us from wholeness. Dreams are a precious doorway through which the energy from the inner world can be made conscious, ultimately guiding us towards healing our wounds and reviving life. Dreams provide hints to find such healing, and because we are all different, for each of us this process will be uniquely our own. To receive the wisdom of dreams, it is not necessary to delve into the unconscious. The messages emerge as they will. We can learn to hold a space in which our rational mind does not interfere, where the deepest part of us is held sacred and can speak to us. So what I've noticed in my own experience is that dreams carry a quality that we need for our life, if we listen. And recently I moved to Santa Rosa after being in Sebastopol for 23 years. And it was not an easy move for me, although I love being where we are now. It was actually a very difficult move, and let's say I didn't do it that gracefully. And I went through a lot of memories and a lot of turmoil in those first few months. Some of my neighbors are here. And I remember after about 3 weeks of moving there, really feeling very disconnected and wondering, you know, when you relate to the trees and the grasses and nature around you, and then you're plopped into a city. I can't say plopped, we chose to do it. The markers that help you know who you are quite different. And so one afternoon I was fairly tired from all the packing and unpacking and all the drama of the move, and I sat on my bed and just leaned back and I fell asleep. And in my sleep there was a bird. And I can't even say an image of a bird because that separates it. But there was a bird that came from above at incredible speed toward me. And this was in that sleeping state that I saw this. And it was going as fast as a jet. And it just zoomed down straight towards me. And I woke up and I sat up. And this quality of the bird coming out of nowhere, coming out of all my misery of maybe, you know, some self-pity or who knows what I was going through, and it cut right through and left me with this incredible sense of wonder. And so it lifted me up out of the sense of difficulty or out of the sense of hardship. It lifted me up to know that there was something else going on underneath everything. And I realized this was the same quality as the dreams in Baton Rouge. They lifted the women up out of the scene disaster to a strength and to a sense of sacredness and meaning, even in the midst of this difficulty. So I carried that quality around for days, weeks, and then, oddly, months later, and to me this is like, to me it was a bird of peace. And many months later, I found that bird inside me. I found that quality of peace inside me. And that actually is an echo of something in the book that someone here had told me in her experience of dreams. So there's this living relationship of what goes on within and what goes on without. And in this language and in this communication, something becomes really alive that we need now. And do you mind if I read something? No. So I'd like to read a short chapter called The Power of Dreams. If I can find it. All right. A former college teacher had never worked with her dreams, had never listened to them. She came to the women's group I led for many years in my studio on the hill by our house. The joy of her soul was restored as she learned the meaning and language of her inner life. In her words, "At first I didn't pay attention because everyone says it's just a dream, but then I learned to value them. Over the years, just listening to the dreams has made me value life in a whole new way, more deeply, more respectfully. Life becomes precious. I don't think I could be with so many people in my current work if it weren't for my dreams. They have changed me. They have made me whole. There was a period in which I had dreams that were more like experiences. They repeated themselves until I was able to witness with compassionate neutrality. I was told that I had to watch a scene without flinching, even a blink, and I would have to witness it again. I had to witness the tragic enormity of certain things until I could be present without a thought. I had to watch the death of my mother, my beloved cat, and the collapse of the Twin Towers. And then they became a part of my physical heart. My cat stopped coming to me in dreams, begging because he's here in my heart, an inseparable part of me. And that what this makes me do, she said quietly, is just love. I learned that I had to write my dreams down. If I didn't, they would pass by like a stone skipping along the surface of water. I would have forgotten them. Then the dreams worked on me. I didn't always want to do it, but they took the unbearable, the unthinkable, and turned it into a root of compassion that I felt in my body. This is the power of a dream." So, I was in India in fall in 2008, and I was standing in the lobby, and it was the first day of a four-day conference, global conference, of women and men, called Making Way for the Feminine for the Benefit of the World Community. And someone had introduced me to a woman who was a nun, a Christian nun in India. And she said, "Oh, can I tell you my dream?" And this was in the middle of the lobby, and people were pouring in, and there were women in dress from maybe 50 different countries, and it was very noisy and lots of energy. And I knew I probably wouldn't see her again, or it's fairly unlikely, because there were so many people. There were 400 people at this conference. So I said, okay. And so she's standing there with her companion, who's a very tall priest. And she told me that she's starting a women's ashram for women of all faiths in India. And this was, she said this has never happened. And so she told me this dream where it showed that she was really afraid of what the fathers of her religion would say to this work, because they really disapproved of it. But then the dream continued, and it showed that she could stand completely on her own, and somehow it would all work out. And she had not understood the dream. And so somewhere it gave her confidence to continue through this work that she was going to do. So again, these dreams bring us such gifts, especially at pivotal times in our lives. So I'll just speak a little bit more about an incident that occurred for me in New Orleans, in Asheville, in North Carolina. And I had gone there many years ago, 6 years ago, I think, and there had been a newspaper article about me coming, and so there were about 60 people in the room in this small yoga studio. And I came in expecting to give some kind of a talk about dreams, and after 5 minutes I stopped because I could feel the whole room was filled with dreams. And so I said that, and I asked people if they wanted to share their dreams. And so they did, one after another after another. They started telling their dreams. And I saw that they didn't want interpretation. They just wanted that wonder of their inner life to be acknowledged and to be affirmed, because they lived in a place where dreams were looked upon with somewhat of a less than holy understanding. The dreams were perhaps dangerous or not from a holy source. So what touched me so much about that night was a construction worker who told a dream, and I don't think that he'd ever told a dream in public before. And he shared a dream about being in the water and having a light come down, lifting him up out of the water, and then hearing the most beautiful music, the most joyful music that he'd ever heard. And he woke up, and he found that he remembered the music, and he started whistling this music that was in his heart. And he said his whole life he wanted to be able to whistle, and he couldn't. And that next day, he was able to whistle the music in his heart. Now, this is so simple, but to me, there's such incredible wonder and magic in what can happen. So, so I wrote this book because it makes dreams accessible, and I wanted to convey the magic of the dreams that I'd gathered over probably 8 years from mostly women from different cultures, different religions around the United States, but also in other countries. And they speak of our relationship to the earth, our relationship to each other, of a sacred way of being that we can live in our ordinary lives, and how that affects life in a very deep way. So I could read some dreams, but I think I'll open it up and see if there's questions or something you'd like me to speak about or something you'd like to share yourself. Yes?
You spoke of that first dream, mm-hmm. where you felt full of love.
Right.
When you woke up, were you different with your family, and did anything change in that situation, do you think, because of that dream?
That's a very good question, because there's no point if it's not going to come into life. I immediately changed in the very basic sense that I could no longer look outside and blame anyone else. The dream showed me not only that there was this quality of love that I had never known before that existed, but that it was my responsibility to live from that place and not me looking at other people and expecting them to change. So, yes, there was more space for me in the family gathering, but a dream like that, I think, takes years and years to become embodied. And so it was like that dream was so pivotal that everything that came after that, I could refer back to that dream as far as what I wanted to understand in my own life. And so life gave certain problems and difficulties and in my family, and I was able to hold that possibility because somewhere in my heart I knew it. And it took many years to begin to truly live that. But I can say with absolute truth that it did begin to change situations that could not be changed outwardly. And to me that is a miracle that our quality of being can so affect the life around us. So I can't say that, you know, when we speak about healing or, you know, how that touches people, I can only say that when my dreams kept referring me back to love, even though I wanted to go outward and complain or feel that if my circumstances were only different, then my life would be better, they kept bringing me back to love. And slowly that woke something up in me. But it takes many years, and love brings... love is not what we think it is. It can bring difficulties. It can bring... it can bring challenges. And it forces, or from, I can speak for myself, it forced me to begin to see the inner truth instead of paying attention solely to the outer surfaces. So does that make sense? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you.
I remember having a dream where I was just so deeply upset. And in the dream I had a list. It was a really long list of complaints. And I started reading them out to someone who I deeply respect. And he would have none of it. And he started knocking on the wall, like that. And it drew my attention away from my list of complaints. And I saw that he was listening to something, and I wanted to hear what he was listening to. And so I began to listen to this knocking, and again it brought me back to this place of love. So it seemed that my experience over and over was not to be caught or identified in problems, but to hold them with love without expectation. And it's not an easy thing to do. But thank you for the question.
I find myself wondering about the relationship between vulnerability and creativity, because it's when we're asleep, it's like we're in our most vulnerable condition. All of our defenses are gone, and that's when dreams surface. I can't take credit for the dreams that I have, and I think I'm wondering in the truly creative act that you don't get to take credit for that also, but just when we manage to really let our defenses go disappear, that similar states can merge in our waking lives.
I think creativity is the true understanding of creativity, or the deepest understanding of creativity, is really working with this quality of the divine. It's magic, and yes, I feel that is a creative relationship in life, that comes from that place where we are vulnerable, where we don't understand, where we are on our knees because we don't understand, or we can't control life, and then something happens that is beyond our doing, beyond our mind.
And the sense of meaning when we're in dream space, it's just so full.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It's the sense of meaning that is so healing, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I think so. Very much so. I was getting my hair cut a couple of years ago, and the young woman that washes hair, she's washing my hair, and she goes, "So, what do you do?" And I guess I listen to dreams, and she goes, "Oh, I had this crazy dream last night." And I said, "Oh." She said, "I won't tell you because it is so crazy and so weird." And I said, "Well, maybe it's not so crazy." And she said, "Well, it is." Because she was 22, I think. 21, 22, and she said, "I dreamt that I was that I had a baby, and that is so crazy." And but she said, "But the baby died in my arms." And I said, "Well, what happened?" And she said, "I just started crying and crying, and I woke up crying." And I said to her, "Is there something new that has taken place in your life, or some potential that's not happening?" And then she suddenly got it, and she knew what it was. She didn't tell me what it was, and it was her whole demeanor changed, and she said, "Oh," and it was the sense of meaning that you talk about. She got something so deep that came from within her. So to me, it's extraordinary. We've just lost a framework for understanding this deep wisdom And with the context or with the framework, then there's this rich communion that goes on. So later, I could see, I was getting my hair cut, I could see she kept coming over just wanting to be close, and I could see that something happened in her. That whatever that sorrow, and she was deeply upset, even though she was laughing it off, that she could now hold it in a different way and allow something in her to grow again. And maybe this time she might create a little more of a space for it to come into her life. So. So I think it's right there. It's just somehow in our culture we forgot this language, but it's just right there.
I was just thinking about how lots of times dreams are just so nonsensical and mundane or silly, or you know, they get dismissed because by us and other people too, because they don't make any sense, and yet it seems like you've done a lot of this on your own, and so you know, how does a person begin to really put meaning to the things? I mean, some things seem very obvious and some things seem very convoluted and hard to make meaningful. And when you're doing it by yourself and you're trying to figure it out, you know, even writing the dreams down. And writing them down, I think, is really important because you can go back to them later. But some of the dreams that you've talked about seem so lovely and so, I don't want to say perfect, but, you know, really simple and elegant and lovely. And I don't find that my dreams are always like that.
Nor mine. What was interesting when I had this dream that I spoke about, the dream about love, the circle of love, was that I had never read a dream book. And so, in a way, I was uncontaminated by any theories or ideas about how to work with your dreams. And so for 3 years before I actually met a Sufi teacher who has been in a 800-year-old tradition of understanding and working with dreams, where I then was able to learn really be trained in a much more profound way. But during those 3 years where I only had the dreams, and I found that we have this language in us, it's buried or it's covered over, but that I'm sure there's different degrees. Some of us are more maybe fluent in it than others, but the dreams will help you to understand them. And you know, that is one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to help an individual who is wondering what's going on, because there's all types of dreams, to begin to hold them in a certain way. And I do feel that there is something very powerful in sharing a dream and not keeping it just to yourself. But the trouble is, you can't just share it with anyone, because then it's not held and it's not respected or maybe not understood. So I truly value the friendships where you can share a dream. And if you don't have someone that you can share a dream with, then there's always something will come in your life to help you understand. You know, whether it's a person or a book, or I have a group that That's just an open group that meets twice a month, but it's just for that, for people to, for women to listen to their dreams and understand them. Mm-hmm. I think that once you catch it, it's like catching a language in a way, or it's like that poem that I read about a flower and then waking up with a flower in your hand. I think when you begin to share it in the right space, then this language wakes up and you begin to understand the meaning more fully. So does that help?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
Oh, I just, that comes to me to remember that there was a period where I wasn't dreaming.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't remember anything. I would come back empty. And people started telling me their dreams, and they felt significant. And so I started just listening to other people's dreams near me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, listening to your story from the Yanachakra at the grocery store about the city with the fountains of light. It's like, to me, that feels very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find that it's wonderful how we carry each other's dream cycle when we're deeply related and intimate. Or even if we don't know each other, you know, somebody will walk up and they'll start a conversation, and somehow their dream will come up. It's really
Yeah, there is this such a deep sense of interconnectedness again under the surface, and there may be days when we feel isolated and lonely, but then we'll have a dream or we'll meet somebody and then we'll see with different eyes. Yeah, it's very much a gift when someone asks if they can share their dream with you. Anyone else have a question?
I have a dream that I've been working with for about a week. And to me, from close to the beginning, it just felt like a collective dream.
Please.
I'm working somewhere, and I and the people around me realize there's a huge storm coming. And we look and see it's a tornado coming. I get out, get in the car, and start driving. I'm not sure where I'm headed, but I find myself making progress pretty well on the streets because they're fairly empty. And I come to a building which was about 3/4 mile from where I used to live in a little beach town in Florida. I look and I see the storm is coming right towards me. And it has spun off 2 funnel clouds. This is like a huge dark gray mass. Then with these 2 funnel clouds, the smaller, it spin off. I go inside the building. It's maybe 3 times the size of this room. It's a bare building, virtually empty, concrete block walls, gray. There's a shopping cart in the building, and there's a baby in the shopping cart. The baby seems to be a boy. It's all wrapped up, but it's a boy. And I pick it up and hold it, anticipating the coming storm. And then a younger man comes in, maybe 30, 35 years old. It's passed. It's missed us somehow. And he comes in, he goes into an office or something that's there. And that's the end of the dream. And, oh, in the dream, I was trying to remember, I remember this street. One of them fits right on the corner of Fifth Avenue, and I couldn't remember the name of the street in the dream, and I'm kind of upset that I can't remember the name of the other street on the corner. Well, I wake up and start going about my day, and I say, oh, I remember being upset because I couldn't remember where it was. Where was it? Oh, yeah, I know. It was South Riverside Drive. So I couldn't remember it in the dream, but I could remember it in my waking consciousness. Very interesting. So I haven't yet figured out what new thing of this baby represents for me. But the storm has this very collective feeling about it. It feels like the whole storm of everything, not just the economy, but everything that's going on in the world right now. And it feels like one of those tornadoes has missed us. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we haven't really felt the storm yet. And the personal aspect of what this new thing is that I am nurturing is, that's not clear yet. But it seems to be somehow related to the circumstances. So I'd be interested in any comments, observations, questions, whatever.
I don't feel like... Did you want to say something? Oh, I thought you raised your hand. I'm sorry. I don't feel I can speak to the storm because I don't quite understand that in the sense of, yes, it is. It is. As you say, I think there is this quality of collective danger and many people have had those dreams. Many people.
Right.
Yeah.
In the dream, I didn't associate it with anything other than a big storm. It was after that I inferred that it feels kind of collective.
But this new baby, to me, that's what speaks the most to me. And it needs your attention. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that if we look in a certain way, we can glimpse something, but we don't quite know what it is. But it is something new. And for each of us, it's going to be a different way that we experience that. But the fact that you embraced it and held it is so significant. And you don't need to understand more than that, except that you are able to hold and nurture consciously with your attention this quality of something new. And life needs us to do that. It's easier to, in a way, it's so much easier. Like when I had that list of problems, that litany of complaints, I call it. It's so much easier. They're so compelling, and they're difficult, and they make us suffer. But something turns us just slightly in a different direction, and we see this new life. And that is the most creative way we can work with life. And so it's a very beautiful dream, and I'm grateful that you shared it. And it's interesting that this storm missed us, or missed you. Missed. So I don't know what that means. But.
And almost like it became the magical element that drew him to the place where the child was.
Right.
Like it deposited him.
Yes. I found during a very difficult time, which I actually write about in the book, how images came for me of new life, like grass shooting up out of the ground when there was just mud and storm all around. And it took all my effort each day to focus on the quality of new life rather than to look at what was falling apart. And so I think that's a quality of what your dream is offering you. Real conscious attention. And that's very beautiful. So, I don't know if anyone else has anything to say about it. I feel personally that this quality of whatever this male baby is for you, but this quality of new life, is very much going to be in our ordinary lives. It's not separate or special. It's very much here in day-to-day life. And just as an example, where we live, I have all new neighbors now, and most people don't talk to each other, but there's one neighbor that I nod to, and so I was walking in the park the other day in the evening, and she saw me, and she said, "Oh, can I walk with you?" And so I said, "Yes." And so we walked together for half an hour. She talked for 29 minutes. And I was really tired that day. But I listened. And then something really interesting happened. She just talked and talked and talked and talked. She said, "I normally don't talk like this." And she was telling me stories about her life. She was telling me about the birth of a grandchild and how she had to fly over to Tucson and how there were so many difficulties, all these difficulties. The husband was still in Japan and all these complications. They had to move house 2 days after the birth. However, she was telling me all these magical things that happened. And she didn't quite understand them. So she kept saying, "It was so weird." And then she would tell me another story. And it was just so weird. And so I realized after I came home and I was thinking, this woman has experienced oneness. She really is experiencing life very alive, where the inner and the outer are just not separate but together, working in this fluid way with magic. Mm-hmm. And so I had this little hint to give her my book, and I didn't even mention to her that I write books or anything like that. And so I walked over about 8 o'clock at night, and I had the book with me, and I just sort of kept it like this, and I walked in, and she's talking, but she's staring at my book. And so I said, "Well, I just wanted to know if you would mind helping me out, because I wrote this book, and I don't know how it touches people, and you know, someone like you, would that have meaning for you? And so I'd really appreciate your feedback." And then she goes, "Oh, that's so interesting, because I've dreamt most of my life, but I never talk about my dreams because the same thing, people think I'm crazy." And she's had prescient dreams, you know, dreams of the future. So she very much lives and is connected to this state of oneness, but had no conscious understanding that there was anything new in her life, because her life normally doesn't live this way, where synchronicity wakes up and things happen in wondrous ways, even in the midst of difficulty. So in a way, that feels to me related to your dream. Something very much coming alive in ordinary life, daily life, but much bigger than us.
I had a thought about your dream that it almost felt like you were protecting, or might have been protecting, young, innocent, masculine energy. Something really, you know, not a particular person or child, but more that, which is really important right now, today.
Just
So I think we need to close. Is that right? So thank you very much, all of you. I really appreciate you coming. And it's really a gift to be with you. I have this flyer. Please take one or some if you'd like. There's a retreat that I'm giving for women in Freestone, June 6th. So please feel free to take them, and thank you so much.
Thank you very
much.
That was a beautiful. It will send me off to sleep tonight very, very smoothly.